Gospel by Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I just want to read one verse. I suppose the culmination of this chapter down at the end at verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now God has promised to bless to us the reading of His precious word. Two nights ago I was over in New York State. I had gospel meetings in Niagara Falls, and I was over there with Mr. Smith and his wife having dinner. And it come time for us to come home, back over for the gospel meeting. And as we sat in the line up there at the border, as is usual, we finally got to the window, and I was in the back seat, Mr. and Mrs. Smith were in the front seat, and I had given them my passport, and they handed it to the man there in the little wicket, and he looked at them, and he couldn't see me because the back glass was tinted. And so he said, "Which one is the Canadian?" And they said, the fella in the back, so I said, "Roll down the window, let me look at him." And so they rolled the window down, and there, I don't know what he's expecting. Maybe me to have a Tim Hortons in my hand or something, or use the word A a couple of times. I'm not sure. But he looked at me, he scrutinized me, and as he was satisfied that I was the person in the passport, he let us pass. And so here was a man who was looking at me, said, "Roll the window down, I want to see him. I want to make sure that he is actually a citizen of this country before I let him in." I was just thinking after that event, I just wonder in the spiritual realm if someone was to say, "Roll the window down, let me take a look at that person. This person who professes to be a Christian, roll the window down, they're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. What do they see when they look at me? Do I look like a Christian? Do I look like I'm a citizen of this heavenly country? Or do I look like I'm from somewhere else? Do I look like that maybe I might claim to be one thing, but in practice, I am something else?" You see here, when we come to Matthew's Gospel, especially these chapters here, 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and there is the Lord Jesus at the very beginning of His ministry here, as related to us in Matthew's Gospel. And as He is going to speak to them of the things that are indicative of those that are truly citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not going to here today differentiate if there is a difference between what we have here, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's Gospel, and in the other Gospels it seems to be the kingdom of God, whether they are in fact the same thing or whether there are differences. Well, that's not for today's message. But as the Lord Jesus is speaking here to these folks, He makes a very peculiar statement. If we had read verse 20 in chapter 5, He says to them there, He says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so what He is saying here, He is saying there is something very definite that will mark those that are citizens of this heavenly kingdom. And that is that their lives will be marked by righteousness. Their lives will be marked by right acts. Their lives will be guided and directed by the edicts, by the laws of the one who is the ruler of that kingdom. And as you go down through the Sermon on the Mount, He will reiterate time and time and time again the things that should be indicative, the things that should be apparent of those that are citizens of this heavenly kingdom. You know, it's one thing to say, "I'm saved." It's another thing to act and live like I am saved. You know, it's interesting, and I know we do this as preachers, and of course we enjoy it as Christians, that when it comes time for declaring our salvation, we always look back to that moment when we trusted Christ as Savior. Each one of us that are saved, we can look back to that time when God in His mercy opened our eyes and saved us by His grace. But isn't it interesting that when it comes to when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to the doctrine of the apostles, it is not so much looking back to a moment in my history when I was saved, but it's rather, what am I doing right now? Is my life at this moment manifesting the truth, the reality that I'm a citizen of another country? I'm not a citizen of this world. Oh yes, I know I have a Canadian passport and I'm here. But listen, my allegiances, my pledge is now for another kingdom. It is for the kingdom of God. And he is saying here that our lives is going to be marked by righteousness. You know, there are some very, I find, frightening scriptures in the Word of God. In Hebrews 12, it says, holiness without which no man will see the Lord. A life marked by holiness. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 2:19. You know, when we are speaking, and we I'm not going to say we all, but many of us, have children that have professed, and you know, we have to look long and hard to see if there's any life there. And so often, you know, we will hear others say, and we are find ourselves saying at some time, well, the Lord knoweth them that are His. We like that part of the verse. But what does the rest of that verse say? The Lord knoweth them that are His, but let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so here is someone who is part of this kingdom. Someone who has been born into this kingdom. Their lives are going to be marked by holiness. Even getting into that kingdom, there was a proper entrance into the kingdom. And it wasn't one of these, you know, these entrances so people think of just this giving your heart to Jesus type of thing. No. There is a proper entrance, and that's what he says here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They've realized their poverty of the sin. They realize that they're bankrupt before a holy God. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that have understood they have absolutely nothing to offer God, that they are lost and they're going to perish. And it says, blessed are they that mourn. Those that mourn because of sin. They understand the reality of sin. They understand how abhorrent sin is to God. And in that moment of salvation, in that, as God has worked with them, they've been brought to this low place where they're poor in spirit, where they've been mourning. And then God in His mercy reaches out and saves. And as a result of that salvation, their lives become markedly different. They are now different than the world around them. Who are the citizens of heaven? What is it that marks out me as being of this kingdom? Well, we could have read there that they will be merciful. Because they have had mercy bestowed upon them. Now their lives will be, their attitude will be of one of mercy to others around them, whether it's the saved or whether it's the perishing. Chapter 5, verse 8 there, it speaks of those that are pure in heart. They go out of their way to save themselves from being defiled by the corruption that is in this world. You have to work at preventing defilement in the day in which we live. It is everywhere. You don't even have to go looking for it. And that is why, as we've been hearing, this enemy, he is able to come in. This enemy is able to get in through these different ways. And before we know it, we're under an attack. And so often, we find ourselves failing. And so he says, those that are part of this kingdom, it says they will be pure in heart. Verse 9 of chapter 5 tells us that they will be peacemakers. Not disturbers of the peace. Not people that like to rile things up. I can remember a fellow where I used to work, and there were two men in the shop at the back that did not get along. In fact, it was so bad, the boss had put one man at one end of the shop, the other man at the exact opposite end of the shop, just to keep them apart. And this other fellow, sad to say his name was Brian too, but we won't hold that against him. He used to delight, because he was right in the center, he would just casually stroll over to the one man and tell him something that the other fellow had said about him. And then he would go back to the other fellow and he would say something of the same to him. And then he'd go back to his stall and wait for the fireworks. Wait for the conflict. Wait for the fighting. Listen, I hope that's not what marks us as the people of God. I truly trust that as we are citizens of this country, as we are a part of the kingdom of heaven, it says there that they will be peacemakers. And because they live like that, because their lives are manifested like that, it says that they'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then it goes on farther. It says that their testimony will be different. They'll be different than the world. I wonder, when the world looks at me, do they see something that's a little foreign? Do they see something that is not what they see when they look at everyone else in the world? Well, he says, if we're truly part of this country, if we're citizens of heaven, he says in chapter 5, verse 13, he said, 13, you're going to be the salt of the earth. What is salt? Salt is that which preserves. The preserving effect of a vibrant Christian testimony. Oh, I know they make fun of us. I know they'll talk behind our backs. But do you understand the preserving effect that living as a Christian has? Oh, maybe not in the big scheme of things, but even in the little scheme of things. You know, I can remember back when I was trying to lose some weight, I would go to the YMCA and try to get some sweat going. And I can remember as they would, at lunchtime, a bunch of fat accountants and lawyers and that would get together and play a bit of floor hockey. And so I figured I could lumber up and down as good as they could down the gymnasium. And when somebody would get hit on the hand or something and they would say something, the first thing they do, they cover their mouth and they look to see where I was. They say, oh, sorry, preach. Sorry, preach. Didn't mean to say that. And, you know, just not talking the way they talked. Well, they knew what I did, and yet I didn't preach at them. And yet, my presence there had a preservative effect upon the environment. And whether it's at the school, whether it's at work, wherever it might be, living as a visible citizen of this heavenly kingdom will have a preserving effect. Not only is it saying that they were the salt of the earth, it says that you're the light of the world. To guide, to direct, to point to Christ, to point to the Savior of sinners. And how often has it been when that neighbor has scorned and mocked and laughed at all the things that the Christians do? Look at them, up so early on a Sunday going off to meeting. Or when gospel series come along, look at those poor folks. They got to go out every single night to a gospel meeting. And yet when troubles or tragedy strike that house, how often has it been that because of the witness of believers who have been shining their light, those people come to them because they know they have something real. Listen, does the world know you have something real? That those that are of this kingdom that is passing? Because isn't it interesting that before he speaks about the kingdom of heaven, he has been offered the kingdoms of this world by Satan himself. All the glory of it. And Satan, as he is able to offer it to him there, Luke's gospel tells it, he does it in a moment of time, something that's fleeting, something that's passing. And sad to say, there are so many Christians get tied up in something that's fleeting and passing rather than making a mark on that which is for eternal, for eternity, the very kingdom of heaven. And so he says here, our testimony will be different. He says, someone who is part of that kingdom, they will be characterized by obedience. They will be obedient to the Word of God. You know, there are some folks think that when they read verses in the epistles about Christian liberty, it thinks that once we're saved, we're free to do what we want. The Lord Jesus very clearly here in Matthew's Gospel, here in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that those that are part of this kingdom, although the standard of the law was high, listen, the standard when it comes to those that are part of the kingdom is even higher. It's not that we disregard the law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And he said, where the law said that, whosoever committeth adultery, that is sin. He said, now, he said, even if a man looks on a woman and commits adultery in his heart, he's guilty. And he goes on and we see here how being part of this kingdom, those that are citizens of it, the standard has been elevated to a much greater height. And yet, he says, and I don't have time to go through all this, but I just want to get back to our verse. Hear what we read here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, as we come down through all the standards, as we come down through what will mark it, he makes this statement. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I have come to believe, partly maybe from my own experience and maybe from others that are close to us and we love them, and yet the sad reality is that they think that they are missing something when it comes to this world. Is that what you think today? Do you think that, yes, I'm glad I'm saved, but I don't want to go in for this wholeheartedly because there's so much that maybe you think the world has to offer you. What a tragedy. But it's a reality. There are many, not only young people, but older folks as well, thinking that, you know, they can have the best of both worlds. Doesn't work that way. And here the Lord Jesus says, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He impressed upon them that there has to be a fixed priority when it comes to our life. That our priority has to be the kingdom. Our priority has to be the things of God. Third John, verse 7, it says, they went forth for His namesake, taking nothing of the Gentiles, taking nothing of this world, because they were going, they had the fixed priority in their mind was the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And as that fixed priority was the kingdom of God, there was now a follow pursuit. That is, they were going to seek that kingdom. They were going to do what was given to them to do. What the man has gone away to a far country to receive a kingdom, as he leaves them these talents, now they are going to work what he has been given them, because there is a day of reckoning coming. Whether they were given much or whether they were given little, yet they worked with what they had. They sought to further the kingdom with whatever they were given. And when the king came back, and as they stand before him, answerable to him, they had to make account of what they did. So what have you done with what God has given you? If you are truly part of this kingdom, then He has given you something to work with. And you are going to be held accountable that in a coming day, you are going to have to answer as to what you did with the gifts, with the talent that God gave you for the furtherance of His kingdom. It's amazing what we will put our heart and soul into. It's amazing some of the bandwagons we're so easy to get on board with. And yet here is something that is for eternity. Something that's literally going to follow you in to eternity. All those things that you are trying, all those things that you are amassing in this world, of this country, citizenship, it's going to be left behind. It's going to be gone in a moment of time. But that which we do with what He has blessed us with now as far as furthering the kingdom, as much as we are faithful here in Luke 19, is it? He tells us there. He will allow us that in that coming day. So what are you putting your effort into tonight? Today? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it the furtherance of His purposes? Oh, I know that it seems like we're overwhelmed sometimes. Just, you know, go around knocking on doors and speaking with people, and you just think, is there any use sometimes? Because it seems that the darkness is so great. You think almost sometimes you get thinking that the devil has won. Sometimes people can think that. But listen, God has won already. His kingdom is going to go on long past the kingdoms of men. And He has given us opportunity as part of that kingdom to be partakers, to be laborers together in that kingdom. Because as He goes on here, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, He gives us a faithful promise now. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. What's all the things? Well, you just go back in the verses that are close to the passage. The things the Gentiles strive after. Food, raiment, all these type of things. Things that are important, yes, I know. But you know, as you look at the world and as that it seems to be their only focus and they're just beside themselves, especially the days in which the economy is turned upside down, people losing their savings and all these things, and they don't know where to turn. They're distraught. They're beside themselves. But here, as far as the one who is part of this kingdom, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that the world seems to strive for and lament over, he says, all these things will be added unto you. If the one who feeds the birds feeds them, aren't you more important than the birds? The one who clothes the lilies so wonderfully, don't you think you're more important than the flowers of the field? He says, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, sometimes it's easy to declare that we have faith when things are going good. You know, when the old bank account doesn't have a negative number in it, and you know, there's some food in the pantry, and then we can say that we have faith. But listen, he's saying here, even in the most darkest of times, even when things look the bleakest, he says, get your priorities straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why is it? Because, well, He knows your name. You're not stranger to Him. He calls His sheep by name. He knows your name. He knows our nature. He knows that we're but dust. He knows that we're prone to faithlessness and failure so many times. But thank God He also knows our needs. And He is able to meet those needs if we put His kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And listen, if we get our priorities straight, and I'm speaking to my own soul, if I understand the purpose why God has put me here, then with that found purpose, I will have peace in my soul. I'll be able to face the day. I'll be able to be just do my little part in the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis said in one of his books, he said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. He says, if you aim at the earth, you'll get absolutely nothing. And dear friend, that is true. If all your efforts and labors and strivings are for this world. Now, I know that we have to live here and we have to prepare for our living here. But the living here is just in view of serving Him. It's just in view of helping us along the way as we seek to proclaim and further the kingdom of our God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, whatever's on your soul, whatever the things that we need, the things that cause us concern, the thing that maybe even discourage us, if we seek His kingdom, if it's the fixed priority in our being to follow Him in the furtherance of His kingdom, He said, then all these things, the one who knows our needs, the one who knows our names, the one who knows our frame,